Blog Talk Radio.
Let's play. I'm the kind of girl, a little mystique, and you're the only one I've ever met who can't handle it. You climb my wall, break down my door. I think you might be just the kind of boy I've been waiting for.
Hello, and welcome to the Judy Joy Jones Show. I really love that song, Let's Play. Amelia Bloom is 13 years old, and she wrote that song. She lives in Australia, and she's becoming well-known. She was on our show about a year ago, and all by herself, she called me, and it was just amazing. But I love her song, Let's Play, because that always gets us in the mood for a good show. Tonight, we are so honored that we have two special guests that I want to tell you about in just a moment. I'm going to bring up my co-host, who is Mike in Austin. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. How is it there in Austin? It's pretty hot, huh?
Yeah, like 105 again today.
Oh, my gosh. And here we are in San Francisco. It's just like, couldn't be nicer, but Austin's a great place. You must be really enjoying living there.
Yeah, but San Francisco's so much cooler. It'd be nicer, but it's just
it would be nicer.
Too expensive.
Yeah, it's a little expensive. Well, you know, Mike, tonight we're really honored to have Danyon and Catherine Brinkley. Danyon Brinkley is one of the spiritual leaders of the world and will be known that in time. I am sure of that. And they are going to be talking about their latest book, Secrets of the Light, Lessons from Heaven. And so I'm looking forward to that. You can actually see his books. There's three of them scrolling by on the Judy Joy Jones Show homepage. And they're all, do you see that? Yeah, they're all available from Amazon.com. So you can just, you know, click on them and buy which one or whatever. But Danyon, one of the things I wanted to say before I read any more is that the one thing that happens every time his name is mentioned is people say, oh, I love him so much. That's the one response that I've gotten. And to me, that's got to be about the nicest thing you can have said. So he may not agree with that, but we love you anyway, Danyon. He has survived numerous brushes with death, making him an expert in the dying process.
Oh, I understand that.
Yeah, you just went through a heart thing, didn't you, Mike?
I got run over by a truck, and all the, and they really thought it was a fatal accident. So, yeah,
I understand. Well, Danyon was struck twice by lightning and has since survived heart failure, open heart surgery, ruptured cerebral, hematomas. I'm not really good with the medical. Yeah, a brain surgery and a massive grand mal seizure. So,
and remember when I got knocked across the porch on Marquette.
That's right. Mike was actually struck by lightning, so it's no accident that he was on the show tonight. And you were like 5 years old, I think.
I wasn't even that old.
No.
And I was about four, maybe three and a half or four.
Oh.
No, but I remember getting thrown across that dang porch.
Well, you know, Danyon actually became a hospice and nursing home volunteer. He created CIA, and that stands for Compassion in Action. And in the past 25 years, Mike, Danyon has been at the bedside of over 340 people at the point of their death and more than 1,200 during their final days, occurring more than 16,000 hours of service. And
that
one
has
of the
got
things,
to be one of the toughest things on earth.
To be at the bedside, yeah, of people
yeah.
crossing over because, well, you know, to, we'll let Daniel talk about that when we bring him up live, but, yeah, I can imagine that would be something you have a calling for.
I had a lady that I worked with that was
mm-hmm.
that was dying from lung cancer, and she wanted me to do her eulogy.
Oh.
We went out to her house, and Norman wrote it,
mm-hmm.
and I couldn't do it.
You just couldn't do it.
He had, Norman did it. He said the eulogy at the funeral. I couldn't do it.
You just couldn't do it. Well, you know, everyone has a calling. And, you know, Mike, you're doing yours. And according to Daniel, because I heard him speak in person, he says that we cannot fail at what we come to earth to do. And that kind of just struck me. I mean, it's like, you mean...
Well,
yeah. So whatever you do...
I damn well hope he's right.
No, it's true. I'm sure he's going to let you know. But one of the things Daniel Brinkley reminds everyone is we are great, powerful, and mighty spiritual beings of light in a physical world with dignity, direction, and purpose. And I want to tell everyone that his website is www.daniel.com. There has been a TV film about him from his first book, which was Saved by the Light. And on a personal note, I've met two people. Well, I haven't actually met him. I was at one of his talks, but I didn't meet him. But there are two people. One of them has crossed over, Mother Teresa of Calcutta, India, and Daniel Brinkley and his wife, Catherine, who is very beautiful. And out of all the people on this earth, I would choose any of those three to sit at my bedside as I crossed over, knowing that they would look at me with all of my body just falling away in the most hideous condition, but they would look at me with unconditional love. And I want to go ahead and bring up Daniel and Catherine.
That'd be wonderful.
Daniel?
Yes?
Hello, how are you?
I'm great, Judy. How are you?
I am so good. I really am honored you came on our show tonight.
I like this guy that has the same type of accent as me. I knew we're kindred.
He's from Texas, honey.
Hi, Catherine. How are you?
Hi, sweetheart. I'm doing fine. Thank you so much for having us on this evening.
Well, we are really honored to have both of you. Yeah, Mike is in Austin, Texas, so he's got that Texas. But, Daniel, yours is a little different, isn't it?
It is. I think it is.
Well, mine's a southern coastal dialect, but at least it makes me feel home, like I'm at home.
That's
you
right.
sound like me, Daniel. Trust me.
And I didn't even realize that he had been struck by lightning as well, so that was
kind of
like...
Well, he had it coming. People always say, Daniel, how in the world did you get through or go through all that? And I can say, well, whatever happened to me, I had it coming. And that's, people talk about fate, but... You know, once you understand the nature of between the two worlds, you really start to grip what the reality is about this life.
Oh, you got it right.
So you feel like there really are no accidents, and that you have gone through all of. Daniel, your suffering has gone beyond, and you feel like you chose it or you brought it with you, right?
Well, somewhere along the line in the course of reality, I must have made these decisions probably based on realizing that I'm very hard-headed and it would be tough to make me do what I'm supposed to do. So they have to say, well, you don't get it. Let's kill him again. And
that's
then
right.
they sent me my beautiful, gorgeous, lovely wife to make
She's
it all
gorgeous.
Worthwhile.
Yeah, Catherine is an angel. I really, truly believe you two are twin souls, without a doubt. What would have happened had you not met her, Daniel? Be totally honest if you had not crossed paths.
I'd probably be a bigger jerk than I am now, but I would not have been as loving and as appreciative. She has a way of looking at things that does not, it's a little jaded because it's always about looking for the goodness and the right in people and what's really fair and balanced. And
mm-hmm.
me, because I have spent, I was listening to the early bio, but I have $26,000 at the bedside and now 373 people taking their last breath, but roughly around 1,800 within days of leaving this world. And I watch the world and how it deals with, quote unquote, what we call death. And I think I get a little angry and at the hypocrisy that I see in religions, institutions, and governments in dealing with that subject matter. And she's always making those faces and pointing her finger at me and, you know, giving me the, you can't think like that stuff. But
uh-huh.
we have to change. What we came together to do is to create a consciousness that sets a mindset for change.
I think that's true, but I also think, Judy, that I don't think Daniel would have been here if we hadn't met, because he is so stubborn, as he said, and
mm-hmm.
he pushes himself
mm-hmm.
to try to accomplish the things that he thinks are right in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And on several occasions in the last few years, he would have pushed himself to death had I not been there to say, okay, this is enough. You're going to stop. You're going to go to the doctor, and you're going to just, the world is going to stop for a while.
So you were there at the, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I absolutely believe that. You know, I have a cardiologist and a personal doctor who will attest to it that you forced me to go to, and
yeah.
I thought I was going to be out of here, but oh, no.
No, no, he has too
We're
much to do.
We're going to go.
No. And you had a recent heart thing, because I heard, I think it was on Coast to Coast, that you had some kind of, not too long ago. Is that right, Daniel?
Well, it's almost a year. I had two heart attacks. Last year, and I was coming back from Norway and had an attack, and I didn't think I flew 21 hours home. I'm so used to flying across the country dying of something, and I flew 21 hours home, and I had to go to the, I got home and got in the bed and went to the doctor, and I had to have heart surgery. And
on his birthday last year.
Happy birthday, he turned 58 in heart surgery, but
wow.
I made it another year, and had to go slow, but I've lost 22 pounds, and I have about 20 more to go. But that's just about stopping and, like Kat says, not taking care of yourself. And I get on these crusades about
mm-hmm.
trying to change the way people see stuff. We have to really stop how we look at what is called death, which I believe never happens. And something I'd like to say, too, is Kat went through two of these experiences. I didn't hear it in the bio, but she has a good point of relationship when we have talks and when we try to figure out what to do and how, what we write about, because she had a drowning as a kid, and then
wow.
she got stung by a bee and had another out-of-body experience. And so we have a common ground in conversation when we look at what to explore and how to help people understand what's going on. And she's also sweet, kind, loving, and beautiful.
And she's gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. I've got her picture on the show notes. And, you know, both of you are gorgeous, but I felt like she was a little more prettier than you, Daniel.
Oh, I would agree with that. But, you know, and it's just the nature, the two natures. Like when we sat down to write The Secrets of the Light, because
yeah.
I waited 10 years because I went through a lot of thinking about it, about to tell people about what happened in the third experience. And it was wonderful to have her as a co-author, to sit down together and to write, because her ability to phrase and her ability to wordsmith, in especially dealing with me, she makes me appear to have good sense, which takes a real artist in writing. But when it comes out and you read The Secrets of the Light, you see a perfect blend of the two of us in a story that we believe truly sets a standard for how people should look at not just death, but how
mm-hmm.
to live this life. And we set up the fourfold path and structured in what we think it's all about, where we think things go astray, what you have to look at. Like, we think everything is about love. And if you look at the decisions that you're making in love, and that once it's about love, then what do you believe about your love? We believe that your love, each individual person's love, is a part of divinity. And without looking at love as a part of divinity as it's passing through you, we have a tendency to give our love or show our love in events and actions toward other people, and we don't really give it a value until they return that love to us in a way that we feel represents what we're doing. Well, that's a failure. People have to give their love, and based on the reasons why they're giving it, no matter what the return is, because that affects the choices that we make in life. And then how do you empower yourself if you don't believe in you, great, powerful, and mighty spiritual being, and in the choices you make, and then how you actuate whatever action you want to take to fulfill that. Don't you think, honey?
Yes, darling, I agree.
Well, you know, I remember seeing you. I guess it was like at a Whole Life convention or something in San Francisco. And the thing that struck me, Danyon, is at the end of your talk, we were hugging each other, and I didn't go in any other talks where that happened. Now, I don't know how you did that, but we were actually turning around each other, either shaking hands, but we were communicating with one another, and I hadn't found that before, and I thought, you know, this guy's got it. Something about what I consider God is coming through Danyon, and it never left me. So,
but thanks, Judy, because we've all grown up in America, and I believe that we've had so many people talking at us instead of talking to us. And at the end of each program, I want people to make friends, because some in a moment, just like where we are today, years later, a friendship and a kinship grows inside of each person when they turn and see they're not alone. They meet each other, they give each other a hug, or they speak to each other. And like for Kat and I, we realize that we've created friendships that literally last for years and years and years. And for that, we're very proud. The people who go on our tours, you know, I call them the kick the tires tours, mm-hmm. because I like to go and look at things that I'm a big pyramid freak, but I like to go and look at this stuff. And I'm really proud that you remembered that, and I thank you.
Oh, absolutely. It never left me. Not much you've ever said did. And especially, you know, one of the things, again, was I mentioned to Mike, my co-host, that you said, well, you were the worst of the worst. And I thought, you know what? he must accept me if he says that about himself. Nobody says that. They're all saying, I am the best.
Well, that's people who are trying to. I'm just an everyday guy.
Yeah.
And I've gone through these experiences, and I've tried to take it and turn it into something that benefits people. And Kat, too, we look at these events, and people, if you don't put yourself above people, because I want people just to talk to me and not at me, or mm-hmm. I don't contemplate my navel. I live every day. We got six kids, and we mm-hmm. operate in that, and we work really, really hard. And then my hobby is hospice. And when we start to sit down and look at our lives, this is why we wrote The Secrets of the Light. It's why we have our website, Danyon, and why we have the Kinetic Magazines. The Kinetic Magazine, it kind of moves
oh, yeah.
across the spiritual framework of life as we see it, so that we can touch people, and not everybody gets spirituality in the same way. And so we move across the spectrum as just everyday people looking at this, not thinking ourselves any greater than anyone else.
I'd love to know about your Kinetics magazine. That's can you tell me about that, Catherine?
Oh, absolutely. You know, Danyon and I met because I interviewed him when his first book came out in 1994. And at that time, I was working for a metaphysical newspaper here in Las Vegas. And it's always been my dream ever since then to have a magazine of my own. And mm-hmm. a girlfriend of mine had sold her magazine, Mystic Pop, which you may be familiar with, which
yes.
was an online magazine, very popular. Well, it was also in print, I'm sorry. It was more than just online. And we got to talking one night, and I said, let's start a new one. And she said, okay, come up with a name. And within a couple of days, I came up with Kinetics, because Danyon and I love the feel of that word. You know, it's energy that makes things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what we wanted to do with this magazine. It's a magazine for spiritual sustainability. And from the very beginning, we had wonderful writers like Neil Donald Walsh and Danion myself and Michael Tamara and Wayne Peterson and Lynn Andrews all come on board, very anxious to participate and to contribute to the magazine. So that's us. It comes out monthly, the first of the month. It's online. It's free. And it's just lots and lots of wonderful information to help people sustain spirituality in their everyday lives.
And in these ever-changing times, we need it more now than ever.
Absolutely.
That's right, Danion. We need everything right now, don't we? I mean, it's crazy. It's like people are running around going, what happened to my job or my house, you know?
Well, we've begun to worship fear, and that is the biggest driver. And I have this suspicion that there is we come to the end of a galactic cycle, like what the Mayans talk about. There are powers that believe that if we can keep us afraid, we will miss this mystical period that we're going through now. It comes every 25,800 years. It's proven. And we're going through this cyclic nature. And we have to hold on to our spirituality. And if you're driven into fear by collapsing governments and betraying of religion and governments, I mean, and institutions such as healthcare, then we become so fearful we don't keep ourselves focused in that light, loving place.
I think it's most important now, Judy, that we return to simplicity and to what is truly sacred in our lives. And it's not about collecting anymore, you know, possessing anymore, acquiring anymore, but really getting back to center and realizing what's important. Like Daniel was saying, they're afraid if they keep us busy, we'll miss this period. We can't miss it. But if we're caught up in fear, we will miss the meaning. We will miss the significance of it. And the most important thing as we go through this period is to realize what is important to us. That's family. That's God, whatever name we choose to use.
Friendship,
spirit. And coming together in a more sacred pattern than ever.
And better to help each other, to care about each other and help each other.
Exactly, community.
And, you know, people are, you know, there are so many people in nursing homes. You walk by some of these nursing homes, and if you go in them, it's even, I went in a nursing home in Ojai, California, where people are very, very wealthy. Couldn't believe what I saw, and I came out crying. I thought if one person every day just went in and sat down, you know, by somebody and held their hand, what would that mean? There are so many people. You know, Danion, I wanted to ask you.
What did you see in this nursing home, Judy, when you said you couldn't believe what you saw? What did you see?
Such loneliness, such
loneliness.
Despair. They wanted someone, anyone, Danion, that loved them, anybody. They are totally alone, and this is in a very, very wealthy nursing home, Danion. This is not like they're neglected. So,
I mean, I see this every day, Judy. You know, 26,000 hours and 31 years at doing this. I see this every day, and I agree with you. I mean, we all have to start paying attention. This time of end of life has become so fearful in the way healthcare deals with it and the way we rack and stack the quote-unquote elderly, which I'm about to enter that phase myself. And we have to change this. I was just looking at President Obama's last night speech, and he had no problem with saying that the elderly people, they would withhold treatment for elderly, and it was just like a nation of euthanasia. And anyone who listened to that speech last night and looked at the programs being put forth by the National Institutes for Health as well as Health and Human Services, euthanasia is on its way.
And you know that, Danny, you had talked about, I think in one of your books or on your website, you were starting places with like...
The centers.
Yeah, the centers. I want to know more about those centers. I don't know why. I'm just driven to know more about those centers.
Well, now it's the time. Here comes where I myself, I've worked on this off and on for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept looking at the technology wasn't at the state that I could use it, and I kept building these programs. And now I see the technology capable, and there was a missing component. I could never understand what what some of the parts were, and it took years to study and find out. And there was a cylinder in this chamber that I didn't know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so finally, a couple of years ago, in dealing with this one of these people that you come along in life, and he happened to begin to describe a certain component. And when I heard it, I knew I had found it. So I now know all the components and the parts, and we're working on that right now. I want to make it a part of the Twilight Brigade, the Compassion and Action Program, dealing with veterans, because it was about stress. And Kat wants to save everybody in the world, so we collectively work on that together.
Well, y'all got a big, big world to save because, you know, Catherine,
he has a big world to save.
What do you mean? Where are you going?
I'm helping. I'm starting it with veterans and then moving out in the world. I believe that when we look at post-traumatic stress syndrome and we look at polybrain trauma and we look at the issues of those who gain this stressful situation in defending our country,
mm-hmm.
and being a former Marine myself, then that is the place I want to go. And Kat looks at kids and abused women. And
85% of all people in the world have PTSD. Yes, not just soldiers.
But didn't get it defending America, though. That's just
right.
No, they got it just trying to survive each day with an abusive parent.
Abusive parent or spouse. And,
right.
You know, women are sitting. And, you know, that's the thing. I didn't go to war, but Danian has been there. And you actually, did you kill people in the war, Danian?
What?
I mean, were you actually in combat?
I'd have to say yes.
Yeah. See, so you've been there. And you know, I think that women have been there. We're kind of the runt, you know, when we're walking down the street, we're alone and we're always a little bit of what I consider prey. And I know it's way different than what you experienced, you know, when you were in combat, Danny.
But all still creates stress, though, Judy, and it all creates the nature of what Kat is describing as PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I see, you know, there's another point to this. The most abused women and the most abused children come in military families.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's scary.
Well, this is what happens. It's the biggest divorce rate. You know, this is what we have to face. And by facing this and pulling this together, we really start to see what is happening with war. You know, what war really means. And it's not a great cause. It's just about business. But it's what we go to war to fight and to defend the principles of America and all of that is
mm-hmm.
destroying basic foundations of families.
Well,
wouldn't you agree, dear?
Well, I don't think that we've gone to war to protect our basic foundation or philosophy. I think, like you said, it is just business, and that upsets me. And so Judy, Danian, and I have coined a phrase called Think War Unthinkable, because those things we think unthinkable cease to be. And we are hoping that there will be a day when there is no more war.
And what
Beyond
was it that Patch Adams said?
He wants to see the day come when no one knows what war means, what the word
means.
And what were you saying, Mike, before I interrupted you?
Mike
was saying something.
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
You're important.
No, I just... Have you ever read Be Here Now?
Be Here Now. Oh,
yeah.
Gosh, absolutely. I think I read it first when I was 17. Yes.
Okay, thank you. I know how old you are now. Okay.
She's just a baby.
Did it? Did it not make sense?
Oh, absolutely. It still makes sense.
It's how the world goes around. You know, it's just...
Mm-hmm.
It's what you're saying.
Yeah, Danian is saying exactly. You know, we have a caller. Would you be willing to take a question, Danian, or Catherine?
Sure. Kat's ready.
Kat's ready. Okay. I'll give it to Kat. Let's bring it up. 214. Hello?
Hello. This is Angel Light.
Hi, Angel Light. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Did you have a question for Danian or Catherine or both?
Well, it's more of a comment for Danian and Catherine. I get the email newsletter
mm-hmm.
and that you two put out. I really appreciate that. I appreciate the books and the stories and the articles. And I first heard you speak, Damien, maybe about 1990 in Dallas. That's where I'm located. And I've always been...
With Cheyenne?
Uh-huh.
Damien does Dallas. Now we're talking.
Move on, Network, and Eclectic Viewpoint. I don't know, you know.
Well, it was Eclectic Viewpoint with Cheyenne.
Yeah.
You remember those cassette tapes? She'd make cassette tapes, a program, so I have you on cassette tape, believe it or not.
Damien's rock and roll. Boy, I was wild in those days, wasn't I?
But you know what? You know what, though? We all evolve and grow and change, but,
you
know.
I don't think I changed very much.
You were so entertaining. You had a wonderful message, but it wasn't boring. You were so entertaining, and you delivered the message very clearly, very well, and made us laugh, and I think that's, you know, that's still part of who you are.
Well,
and
you.
Then you can deliver the message, and now you've got this lovely, lovely heart and soul person to be with you and share your life. And
well, God gives you, you know, if you do the work, He will provide. And what I gave up at 25 years old, at a certain point, it came back to me. Everything I could have ever wanted has come back to me. So I guess at a certain point, they decided I deserved to have a loving, beautiful wife and a wonderful family, and they delivered it.
Boy, it didn't say, though.
Cool?
Wasn't it 6 children? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Yes, 6 children.
Oh, yeah, I thought so. That's
in a
wonderful. Anyway.
I think about 20.
Yeah, you deserve it. You really, really deserve it.
Thank you.
And just keep on keeping on and doing what you're doing
but
and being who you are.
Thanks for remembering Cheyenne in that 1990. That was long before I was ever famous as Damien Brinkley. It was just Cheyenne and 1,000 people having a great time.
And it was. It was really a great time. And she was a really neat lady. She really opened doors in consciousness by having you and others to Dallas.
Well, that's when Captain fell in love with me when
oh,
she saw
really?
That video. Tell him about that, honey.
Oh, it was crazy. I, at that time, I think it was 1992 or 1993, when I saw one of his video cassettes from Dallas. And he was outrageous. And I had no idea who he was. Someone, a friend of mine, sent me the tape. And you'll love this part of it, Angel and Judy and Mike. She sent me the tape. No, she called me on the phone first, and she said she'd just seen this videotape of this man doing a lecture in Dallas about a near-death experience, and that every time he spoke, she saw my face before her. And she said, there's some connection between you and this guy, and I don't know what it is, but I want to send you the tape. And I said, absolutely, send it. And when she sent it, I really didn't pay that much attention to Damien, but his message, as you say, was just so entertaining. It was just off the charts and yet so meaningful. And since I had 2 out-of-body near-death experiences, I was just glued to the screen. And within 6 months, we had our first interview.
Wow. Really?
And we knew, you know, just from talking over the phone, that there was some connection. That connection was very real.
And what was so funny about it is, then the book had come out, Saved had come out, and I was doing, like, now we do so many shows, you know, people interviewing you and all that. And what was so interesting about Catherine is I knew every question that anyone was going to ask me in those days because it was the same old crap. It was the same old stuff. Everybody was asking the same questions. But she asked really great questions, and I got mesmerized by listening to her and listening to the questions because they were in-depth questions, and it sought to bring out the spirituality, not the drama, the melodrama.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I got a copy of the article, she made me sound like I really had good sense, which I was really thankful for.
Oh,
so,
yes.
It just shows you that destiny sets its course for
absolutely.
People to be together, and no matter how crazy I am or wherever you are, when destiny plans that and fate plans that, then it shall pass. And I think it's the same for everybody.
It's true. And had he not been struck by lightning, I probably never would have met him. I never would have read his book. He never would have given a lecture. So it is amazing when you really take a fine look at what the cosmos does to make things happen in your life.
So I went through two lightning strikes, open heart surgery, brain surgery, and then heart surgery so I could be in love with you.
Yes, I didn't know that too, but it's true.
Sorry, Dan.
I think I'm coming to Austin to live with Mike.
Easier.
Well, I just want to say, every time I see a picture of you two together, you know, you use one main photo, it just makes my heart and my whole chest fill up with love. It's wonderful.
Thank you for saying that.
Thank you, Angel Light. You're a dear. Angel Light is a real special person, and I want to thank you so much for calling in tonight. You have a great night.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Boy, she goes back to the early days of rock and roll.
She's really, her whole thing is she gets her calling from different places than most of us, and I want to tell you that she really is an individual, and she follows that calling, and whatever that calling is or whoever says it's coming from, I go ahead and I respond to that, and I accept it, and I try to dedicate whatever it is they're telling me. I want to tell you, Danian, that I don't want to keep you long. I know you have a huge schedule ahead of you. Catherine wrote me. Catherine, where are y'all going on your next tour?
We're going to Teotihuacan, Mexico.
Teotihuacan. Thank God you pronounced that, because when I saw that in the email, I went, oh, Catherine.
What are you doing to me? Yeah, people shorten it and they just call it Teo, but it is Teotihuacan. It's about 35 miles southeast of Mexico City, and some of the most outrageous and wonderful Aztec and Mayan ruins are there.
Well, they're really pre.
Are they pre-Aztec?
Yeah. Okay. You're talking about.
They say they're Aztec.
You're talking about a set of pyramids bigger than the pyramids in Giza easy over 20,000 years old.
Mm.
So when you see this, it's literally breathtaking. And I've been obsessed by pyramids since I was like 17 or 18, long before I've had a spiritual ounce in me. Mm. And I saw this, and I began to really wonder about reality and what we were being taught about where we came from and the basic evolution of history. These things created doubt in me about the stories that we've been told, and just like the stories we've been told about death. Then all of a sudden I saw these in 1968, and I've been on a 40-year study, and ever since the lightning and getting involved in the spiritual search, it has even grown larger and larger. And I believe that in this next period of time, we have to stop believing what we're being told and check it out for ourselves. And since it's Mexico City,
mm-hmm.
and it's the Yucatan in Central and Northern South America, it's not difficult to make these journeys, and it's not expensive. So like I said earlier, I call them the kick the tires tour. Quit listening to that crap everybody's telling you. Get on the bus, and let's go kick the tires ourselves, because the moment you pull into that plaza and mm-hmm. you see this structure, all of a sudden your belief system is altered and shifted. It's not quite as dramatic as getting struck by lightning, and it is certainly a lot cheaper.
And we have such fun on these tours, and we invite anyone who's listening who has any interest in going to check out our site at danian.com, click on our flyer, and read about the trip. Anybody who would want to come would get in touch with our co-teacher and good friend Ginny Gentry, and
mm-hmm.
she can give them all the details about the trip. We leave on the 16th of July. We'll be gone for only 5 days, but it is truly a trip of a lifetime.
Wow!
You guys driving?
Are we driving?
Are y'all driving or flying?
We'll be flying in. Everybody will be flying in.
Mike wants us to come by and pick him up
if we're
driving.
We could do that. I think we could do that.
I'm 3.5 hours from the border.
Then I invite you to come. You will absolutely love it.
Yeah, you'd love it, Mike. That would be a great, great trip for you. You might want to check it out.
If you have your passport, then, you know, it's...
No problemo.
It's inexpensive,
no problemo.
And it's exciting. I love to take them, and people always say, you know, Damien, what am I expect to get? Well, you expect to get a life-changing experience, because we have studied this for years and years and years, and what is the greatest part about these trips is you will go as a Toltec and an Aztec. You don't just go as a tourist looking at a bunch of ruins. You become, under the Aztec, the Mayan calendar and the Aztec calendar, you become that person each day as you go through the program. And what is so cool is people who would have never thought they had any inclination, in the evenings when we have the chats, what comes out of people in their conversations is some of the most remarkable conversation you'll ever hear. We know the stuff. And then you listen to people, what they sense and they feel, and tell it because of how we do the program. It's pretty remarkable. Kat does a great job of creating these books, so each day you are logging and each day you're journaling. And at the end of the week, it's amazing what happens when people share.
Wow. I would love to do one of the trips. You know, that sounds great to me. And I would like to tell everyone to go to Danian's website, www.danian.com. Is that right, Kat?
Right.
That's it.
D-A-N-N-I-O-N.
D-A-N-N-I-O-N. And also, I'd love for everyone to get involved in Compassion in Action, CIA. There's a lot of people out there that are dying alone, and you could spend maybe an hour a month even, huh, Danian, and just sit by their bed.
Well, what is so important about this is if there's a 100% chance that something is going to occur in the life of someone you love or someone who loves you, which is transition,
mm-hmm.
and you don't know as much about it as you possibly can know, where does that leave that person that you love, and who does that make us? When you think of the answer to those two questions, it becomes invariable that you truly come and learn. And we created the Twilight Brigade because I don't want anybody to die alone. I just don't think it's necessity. And like you were saying in this nursing home, people need to know their life has value. And people need to know that they have meaning in their life. And when someone comes who's not being paid and that listens and knows how to listen and ask the right questions, then not only do you lose the fear of this process yourself, you empower those people to find resolution and closure. And if there is a gift that any of us should ever want to possess, that's the gift.
Thank you, Danian. You're incredible. And I would ask once more that anyone that ever I think there are very few people who do not know Danian Brinkley and Catherine Brinkley now.
People know Catherine than me, but it's always nice to be a part of her, to be a small part of her her expansing world.
Well, she's prettier than you. Come on, Danian.
You absolutely love that woman.
And Mike, you hit the nail on the head, my man.
He's in love.
No.
He knows what love is. And I also, one last thing, Danian, the TV movie that was made about you, can we get that on DVD or on demand? Or?
It's unknown.
Just go to Amazon. Amazon is the best way, and they'll lead you to the places. They don't actually sell it, but there are other places that have copies of it, yes.
Okay.
That you can get it on DVD, because we're working on a screenplay now. But because we're Saved by the Lake, it's the highest rated television movie in history. Mm-hmm. And it's been seen in 30 countries, probably by 100 million people. Because we get messages from emails from all over the world. And
awesome.
I was so happy for people to have loved it as much as they did. And now we're taking The Secrets of the Light, which starts right after the end of Where Saved Ends, Secrets picks up in 1995, and then it goes to the third experience. And this time it'll be a better film. But I was really proud of Saved, and I think Eric did a really, really good job.
Yep, and I want to tell everyone also that Danian and Catherine are often on Coast to Coast radio show with
George,
it was Art Bell, and now it's George Nori.
Guess who first got me booked on Art Bell?
No,
because you'll never guess.
No. Catherine.
Catherine.
It was Catherine.
No.
And it's so funny. It's so funny, Judy, because, well, that paper I told you that I worked for in Las Vegas, this was back in 1995.
When she was 16.
Yeah, yeah, I was 16 and a half. We were doing an expo in Las Vegas, and we wanted to publicize. And at that time, in 95, a lot of people hadn't heard of Art Bell. But since I'm a Nevada girl, we all knew he was up in Pahrump and doing some really wonderful things. So we got Danion on that show, and they became fast friends, Danion and Art Bell.
Oh, yeah.
And then when Danion had his brain surgery, Art and his wife at the time, Ramona, flew all the way to South Carolina to be with Danion. And after that experience, I interviewed Art Bell, and he was telling me that he didn't really believe in any of this mumbo jumbo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, spirituality was not his cup of tea, but it made good radio. And that,
in psychics.
Yes, in psychics. But that Danion Brinkley was the very first person to make him a true believer.
I believe. You know, I actually heard Art Bell and Danion speak to each other, and I have never been so touched because Art was speaking from his soul, not his mind, not his heart, but his soul. And I felt that, and I felt they had this spiritual connection, and it really is, I think, what introduced me to Danion.
Really?
So I really am glad you did that. And I want you both to know you're welcome to be on the show anytime you want. And
Thank you,
Judy.
We love
really
you both.
It.
And thank you so very, very much. I'm honored. Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome. And I think y'all look great.
Oh, thank you.
Well, we think you were great.
Absolutely.
That's a fact.
Thank you both. And we will, I wanted to tell everyone on Wednesday night, we're going to have Helen Thomas, who is actually
a great reporter. Helen Thomas is the longest serving White House reporter in history.
That's right, Damien.
She was
incredible.
When Eisenhower, I think. I don't know.
Longest serving, over 48 years. Maybe when
might have been Nixon, but
I think it's Nixon.
No, she goes back further than that, 48 years.
Nixon.
She does. She's amazing.
Nixon.
She's the first woman of this and that, and I'm really honored. She's 89 years old. She's starting on her next book, and I'm going, wow. Yeah,
I think that's wonderful. Tell her that we said we loved her.
Thank you, Danny, and I will do that. I really will do that. I'm really honored to have her coming on. And
oh, yes.
Everyone, I want to tell you that Blog Talk Radio is only possible because there is a genius, who I consider a genius, Alan Levy, who his father was dying, and on his deathbed, Alan could not blog people quick enough to let him know about his dad and how much he loved him. Thus is the reason he started Blog Talk Radio, and thus is the reason I am here. Thank you, Alan, for loving your dad.
Well,
so
we want to give him a big kiss, too, so we need to tell somebody to give Alan a big kiss.
That's right. We're going to do that. And everyone,
well, you get one back from all of us.
Thank
That's
you.
That's right. That's right, Mike. Mike, I love you, and Danion and Catherine, thank you. And good night, everyone.
Thank you, Judy.
Thanks, Judy. Good night.